You don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a huge difference for the Lord in the world. But you do need to know a few things that are great and be willing to live for them and die for them.
Will I let Jesus prove to me that He's truly my strength? To let Him prove inside of me that through Him I can do all things.
The True Strength Life Podcast with Aaron Simpkins.
Check out TrueStrengthApparel.com for clothing you'll love with a message you can trust. That's TrueStrengthApparel.com.
Hey guys, Aaron here. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of True Strength Life Podcast. This is episode 101, and this is part 3 of a 4-part series that Marcus and I did on the topic of abortion. And this is just a real quick intro. I did the same thing in part 2. I'll do the same thing in part 4. But this is a quick intro. I just want to say in this intro, if you want to know what this is about, why we did this, and what our goal with this is, go back to episode 99, part 1, and listen to that intro. I explain it all there in that intro, so I don't have to make these ones long. So thank you for tuning in, guys. Thank you for listening. Please share this. Please send this to a friend. And again, please bring this to God yourself, this issue. God bless.
I want to move on to, and this is somewhat backing up. If you guys haven't heard the earlier part of this interview or this discussion, we talked about kind of what led us to even start this, having this discussion. And that was, you know, obviously Roe v. Wade is being potentially being overturned. It's not official, but there was an opinion that was leaked that looks like that's where we're heading. And so this is the legal argument. And so the legal argument, and there really is no legal argument. The legal argument from the left and what was decided in 1973 was that it was very weak. But what was kind of thrown out there was that somehow, some way, the Constitution, by some combination of like 4 or 5 different amendments, that this was somehow a constitutional right, that abortion was a constitutional right. The recent opinion that has been leaked, that looks like, again, we're now going to overturn that here in 2022, argues that there is nothing in the Constitution that affirms abortion specifically as a right at all. And that's honestly for several reasons. There's just nothing in the Constitution that affirms this right. Let's throw this out there. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the most liberal of Supreme Court justices, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, also agreed that it is not affirmed that abortion is a constitutional right using the 14th Amendment, which is what 1973 Supreme Court tried to do, as well as use other amendments that clearly don't fall under that. So anyway, that leads us to the point that essentially there is no legal bearing to allow abortion in this country. Like, there's nothing legally that says it's a right. There's nothing legally that would offer this as, an acceptable thing, because in our society, we all at least used to agree that murder is forbidden and murder is objectively wrong. So that's kind of illegal. I don't know, Aaron, if you want to add anything to that on the legal side.
I think this combines well with the science argument. You know, again, what is it? It's a baby. We see from science, you know, this isn't us bringing in our, you know, philosophical tendencies or our, you know, our theological stance, or because we're Bible believing Christians. Science shows us that, okay, let me make this clear. Science, Frank Turek says this too. Science doesn't say anything, scientists do. So that's how there is that debate of, you know, you do have some scientists that say, you know, they'll make up some weird phrasing around that, you know, it's not a human at conception, and but other scientists do say that it is, and quite honestly, I think it's way more that do, but because scientists bring in their own philosophical stance and worldview on things, that's why they come to different conclusions on the evidence. But there are things that show that at conception, it's a human. Like I said, DNA and all, it's a whole other being. So then legally, when it comes to murder, the question always was, well, when does life start? Mm-hmm. It always goes back to when does life start? And other than this just being a side tangent that I'm interested in, there's some deep philosophical debates on like what is even life, which is fun. But whatever your answer is on that, at conception, we know it's a human, period. So legally, you can't get super weird with it. Legally, that is a human at conception. So if you kill it after that, then that's should be murder. And we say murder because it's premeditated. It's thought about. It's planned out. It's not just like, you know, it accidentally happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll wrap this part of that up by, I mean, just simply making it clear. And I think I said this at the top of the discussion as well, that this overturning of Roe v. Wade is not outlawing abortions. Like, everybody's running around with their head cut off, like a chicken with their head cut off, because they think like, oh my gosh, I can't get abortions anymore. That's not what this does at all. Quite frankly. Yeah.
Oh, dang. It might make it more inconvenient for you to kill your child. Sorry.
Inconvenience. That's wrapped up in this whole discussion, honestly. But yeah, so that's not what's happening. Just legally, like the Constitution, I mean, you can read it for yourself. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody can actually, I think it's completely objective and logical to see that it's just not promised as a right in the Constitution. Now, you obviously may disagree, like you may not like that, but that is very clearly not at all. It's, I mean, obviously not mentioned by word. If it was, it would make everything so much easier for the Supreme Court. But it's not mentioned by word, obviously, but also by any type of just ideology or inference or implication at all within the Constitution is it mentioned or promised as a right. So therefore, it can't be promised as a constitutional right. It's undemocratic for the Supreme Court to have done what it did in 1973. Again, you don't have to like it, but that's why you now have the power in a democracy to vote at the state level, which is what this allows people to do. And so, again, people may not like it, the pro-choice people may not like it, but I do think that is legally the correct ruling, not because I feel like it supports, you know, obviously how I feel about abortion. But again, my understanding of the Constitution, my understanding of reading through, and I read through, like, I'm not going to say I read through the whole thing, it's like 100 pages. I read through 5 pages of the opinion by Justice Scalia. And quite frankly, it was super compelling. And to me, quite obvious that this is the right ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that they got it wrong in 73. So moving on. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but kind of together, the mental health argument, I think, quite frankly, it's just you can't kill a person and be unaffected by it. And of course, I understand that the left doesn't necessarily think it's a person. But again, and this was implied earlier, I think, by something you said, Aaron, too, but that you are whatever you want to call it, you're stopping it for a reason, because you know it's going to become something that you think is going to inconvenience you, which I would call a child. Yes, it does change your lifestyle. I'm sure of that. But when you're stopping something, you know it's going to become something. It could become something. Heck, it could become the president of the United States. It could be the person that you know, we talk about this all the time, right? The person that, you know, cures cancer or whatever the case may be. You are stopping the development of something. that I think deep down people know has intrinsic worth and value. Obviously, because again, we talk about it that way. Everybody talks about it that way. Like, oh, my child can become the president. Oh, you know, and they talk about this while they're pregnant, mind you. So again, that kind of being the idea there, that you're stopping the development of this thing that has intrinsic worth and value that I think people know deep down is the truth. And you cannot be unaffected by that from a mental health standpoint. I think mental health, we need to discuss that because we talk about healthcare, talk about science. We talked about these things already. And the reality is, because science does say this is a human, as much as people want to deny it, there is an after abortion effect that's had after abortions, that people just generally are depressed. And some of them do regret their abortions. Not all. I'm not going to say all of them do. Like you said, I think there's people that suppress it. But anyway, that is the argument that there's something to be considered there about the mental health of that, you know, the way it affects people that do have abortions.
Yeah. I wish I remember who it was. There was a woman, a celebrity type woman recently who did come out and say that she had an abortion when she was younger. And a day it's never been a day it's gone by that she hasn't thought about that baby. I don't remember who that was though. Dang, I wish I didn't. But yeah, you can't. And this goes back to, you know, you knowing that it's a baby, and biblically speaking, you know. Again, I think I brought up Romans 1 already, but you know, the law, the moral law is written on everybody's hearts. So, but we just have different levels of suppression. And within our human depravity, you know, we can do great amounts of evil. You know, to, like I said, that is subjective to the person because of your level of suppression of the moral law that God has put in your heart. And so there are horrible evils that people that are capable of. But just because somebody's capable, like, you know, like a Hitler is capable of doing what he did, it doesn't mean he didn't wrestle with demons. You know, when he was by himself, or he didn't, you know, have issues of some sort, because there is, at some point, there is a point where he knows what he's doing, or, you know, or a woman knows what she's about to do, or a doc or an abortion performing doctor knows what he's doing. And you know, even those guys, like when I've seen some of those guys being interviewed. I've seen videos of some where they were an abortion doctor that had this this life change. Typically, they got saved. It's a circumstance of where they got saved, and then their whole view on the situation, like they were horrified at what they have done. And they built their whole life off of what they did, and they were horrified at it, and now are completely reversing course and living their life in a way of like trying to do anything that they can to not have people do this, and they were the ones doing it, and then I've also seen doctors that do it, talk and stuff, and they've done it for years, do it regularly. And again, I don't know if this is, you know, maybe this is the Holy Spirit inside of me. I don't know. But like when I see those guys talk, there's an evil in their eye. There's something, there is a callousness that they have, a point of callousness they've reached that is just pure evil. And you know, I'll reference this again at the end when we do give some resources. But perfect example of this is Dr. Gosnell. and there's a book and a movie with this covering this guy and his story. But the guy is just evil. He's just pure evil. And he was an abortion doctor for 30 years and was so far into it that he actually, by doing all this, he actually thought and always said that he was doing this for the good of the community. I'm doing this to help women out and I want to serve my community. And this was my way of doing it. So you can get to that level of depravity. You can, because as humans, we're capable of a lot. But that doesn't mean that he's actually right. And like I said, you can see in guys like that, or just hear him talk, like you can see that something is way off. And it's just that, I think it just is that performing evil for so long, even just one, Abby Johnson, who used to run Planned Parenthood's. She won Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year one year. She was a regional director, that type of thing. Like, she was in it. She knew. She had never been in the room before, though, during the act. And what completely flipped her was when she was in the room, she got called. It was an emergency situation, come to the room, doctor needed a hand, one of the nurses weren't available or something like that. And she had to be in there and watch on the ultrasound screen, watch him go in and pull the baby apart. And that wrecked her. But again, she had built her whole life and career on directing Planned Parenthoods, which do what? Mostly make their money from abortions. And she, if you follow her, she even covers all that, because they try to skirt around. They try to do some shady stuff to make the numbers. What's the word I'm looking for? But they move things around to make it seem like they don't make most of their money from abortions when they actually do. And she explains all that, because, like I said, she was the person that ran it. She was their number one golden child. But she had never seen it. She had never had an abortion and she had never seen it done. And then all it took was one time seeing it done. And that was it. That's why some pro-lifers say that a lot of times when it comes to getting people to think deeply about this, or change their mind, even sometimes it just takes showing them a picture. Because a lot of this hasn't come, why we're even having some of these debates and these arguments and talks and stuff is because, quite honestly, some people just haven't thought too deeply about it and haven't thought about the reality of the situation. And so when they're confronted with a picture of a baby, a dead baby outside of the womb, they see it and they're like, oh shoot. Yeah, that's, one, they get freaked out. Like, I don't want to see that. Well, yeah, okay, break that down. Why don't you want to see that? If it's just a clump of cells, if it's just a parasite, if it doesn't matter, why don't you want to see that? And then when you see it, it's a baby, because it looks like a baby. And they know that it's a baby. And they go, holy crap. I don't like that. That's a baby.
Yeah, you brought up a good point about just like, from the doctor's perspective, right? Like, I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about that, but like the mental health of the doctor as well. Like, for you to, like you said, to be so callous and become so numb to it, you have to even continue doing that. Cause I think, again, to the point, I think it's at the depths of everybody, we know what it is. But yeah. And you also talked about, like, thinking like the doctor, this doctor you were talking about, like thinking they're doing it for the betterment of society, or like, for the woman or for women. And that speaks to the sociological argument, right? Which we'll move on to now, which is, of course, everybody says abortion is pro-women and it's, women's health, and this is good for society. It's good for women. It's good for equality. And I would argue against that, obviously. I don't think it's good for society at all for us to kill children, kill babies in the womb. I don't think that's a good thing. And the comment here is pretty much simply that, which is that it's bad policy for a society to support the termination of pregnancies. And it just is. I mean, you know, there's not much more to that. It's just, you know, I saw something earlier, and this kind of speaks to the kind of a logical, which we'll move on to in a second. But I actually saw it on Instagram. I think you might have even tagged me in it. The argument that, you know, and I'm not trying to broad brush the pro-choice. I'm just trying to let people know what people are saying, and that there's a lot of nuance and complexities within that argument on the left, because, again, they don't have much to stand on. So they just constantly come up with new things.
There has to be because they move.
That's what it is. Yeah, there's just so many different things because there's just nothing to stand on. There's no firm ground to stand on that side of the argument. And so, you know, this particular two people were claiming that abortion was good for society because why would we raise children in a world that is dying because of climate change? You know, they're going to die in 30 years and they're going to be, you know, the extinction of the human race is at stake. You know, the human race is going to be extinct. But the irony there, which was pointed out by what's her name? Cooper? I can't remember her name. The irony there pointed out by the person that kind of highlighted this on Instagram was that you're talking about the extinction of the human race while you're extinguishing an actual human. Like while you're killing an actual human, you're worried about the extinction of the human race. 55 million babies have been aborted, murdered, killed, terminated, whatever you want to say, since 1973 up until 2015. And so it's above the 55, but that's what we're doing.
It's about 63.
63 million babies have been murdered up to this point since 73. And, you know, I'm sure
it's about 3,000 a day every day.
It's a 9/11 every day, guys. That's what's happening. And so, you know, it's sad. I don't think that's at all good for society. And so there's the sociological argument. I'm sure there are much stronger arguments for that, that idea that, this isn't wise for any healthy society to be doing. So that's what that is.
I mean, I'll just mention this. I'll mention this guy's testimony real quick and just do with it what you want. But because, you know, again, I don't know what everybody thinks about this guy. But Tim Tebow, generally speaking, he's a very loved guy. He's an awesome guy. Also is very firm in his faith and, you know, will not back down when it comes to that. Has done so many great things through his foundations and things like that for people with disabilities, and has done a ton of missionary work, traveling in different areas of the world, and a lot of that stuff. His parents were missionaries growing up, and they were in the Philippines when they were pregnant with Tim, and the doctors there, again, it was, you're talking about the Philippines, you know, back in the 80s, it was not even close to what, you know, what they have medically in America. And the doctors there were saying, like, they were just about 100% with it. You know, that she was 9 months. She was near the end of the pregnancy, and they were basically firm, like, if you go through with this birth, you're going to die. His mom. So obviously, like, that's horrible to hear. Super hard situation. But his mom was like, I'm getting chills. I'm about to say it. His mom was like, then that's God's time to take me. But this baby's coming, you know, this boy needs to see the world. And this boy needs to live. And they went through with it. And that boy was Tim Tebow. This man that has come and done amazing things for the, like, literally the entire world and millions of people. And his mom is alive and well to this day. And so, again, is that the situation for everybody? No, I understand that. But there's a lot of situations out there like that. There's organizations. There's literally whole organizations built around people who were, you know, the product of rape. But but they're, you know, obviously they didn't get aborted because they're still here because they're people from conception. And they go on and do amazing things because their mom didn't kill them. And they're just so thankful, one, to their mom, and two, like, spreading the message, like, hey, look, it isn't always just going to turn out horrible. You know, because a lot of the turning out, the quote unquote turning out horrible, that's so much, you know, that's all decision making, you know, to the mom, to the guy involved. Like, because we're not at all advocating that, you know, that the sperm donating man, you know, just runs away from the situation. Like, he needs 100% needs to be held accountable. And I don't know, the held accountable, I don't know what you do with that legally, you know, that type of thing. But like, you know, Dave Chappelle made the joke, and I don't necessarily like the joke, but the reason that it's a joke is because it also sort of has some truth to it, where he said, man, if women have the choice to kill those babies, well, guess what? I got the choice to abandon it. And it's like, that kind of makes you laugh, and it's like, ah, wait a second. Yeah. That's some hard truth. I gotta feel right there, because you know, that's the society right. We live in, and I don't even know
I think what you just said takes us right into the logic, right? Because I think going that route, I think because we even, you know, and this is, we're gonna also mention, you know, our common argument of no uterus, no opinion. And how illogical that is, you know. And the reality is, there are a lot of men who don't speak up around this issue because it is kind of a get out of jail free card that they didn't ask for, but they've won the lottery of the liberal left, and they're advocating to absolve men of their responsibility of stepping up. And
not dealing with the consequences of their sex.
And they're okay with that. And then, you know, and so, yeah, there are a lot of men that won't speak up. And it seems, you know, so obviously they're okay with the pro-abortion movement because they believe, like you said, they can be absolved of their responsibility and not be held accountable for the consequences and of, like you said, of having sex outside of a context in which they were ready for children. And so, you know, I guess that goes right to the logical argument, but I'm, you know, the pro-life people were advocating for people to be logical. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It is based in logic. That men should be held responsible. They should not be able to abandon women, pregnant women, and their children. You know, yeah, so advocating for all of the things that need to be done so that women feel like they're empowered and enabled to parent the child when it's born is everything that pro-life people stand for, as we talked about earlier, like very early on in this discussion, which is that, you know, the church and pro-life people aren't just like pro-birth and then just disappear. But logically, all of these things need to be dealt with and addressed. And they are being addressed. You know, so it's just illogical to say that nobody should have an opinion on it because you don't have a uterus, or you're not a woman. And just one last thing on that. Every other act of injustice in our world, we expect others outside of the injustice to speak up. We ask others to speak up. Whether that was you, you know, when I say you as the listener, understanding the Black Lives Matter movement and supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, you asked others that weren't black to speak up because you thought something unjust happened. You know, when animals are abused, you ask people who aren't animals, obviously, to speak up. And so here we are. No, I'm not a woman. No, I'm not a fetus or a child, but I'm speaking up because there is an injustice happening and it needs to be dealt with. And so the logic of no uterus, no opinion, it doesn't stand on anything. It's not logical.
I mean, imagine this, saying a fetus, quote unquote, or a baby is not a person is the same logic as saying, a black slave was not a person, which we know was used. But no uterus, no opinion. So in other words, if you're not a woman, or a uterus holding person, if you're not that, then you can't speak about this issue. How would that have worked with slavery? If you're not, so in other words, in that same, using the same logic, if you're not black, then you can't speak up against slavery.
Yep.
How would that have worked out?
Still be enslaved.
So, you know, again, one of the foundational points of how people can get away with these evils is if they ingrain certain ideals. And one is, and we see this all throughout history with evils like slavery, and just generally torturing groups of people, is when you deem certain groups of people as not people.
Yeah.
So when you just arbitrarily say, you know what, I don't like them over there, so I'm gonna just keep promoting that they're not people. They're not persons. They don't have personhood value as a human being. Then you can, once you do that and you remove that away from a person, you know, at that point you could literally do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, that's why they say things like it's just a clump of cells. That's why, you know, it's just a parasite. Because they took the personhood away from it, from the baby, and said, you're not a person, so now I can do whatever I want to you. You know, black person, you're not a person, so I own you now. Or name any other slave trade throughout human history, because slavery always existed up until Western civilization. We don't need to get into that talk, but, you know, that's what Hitler did. You know, Jews are not full people, they're not worthy of full personhood, like the Aryan race and things like that. Like once you have scales of personhood and, you know, what peoples are worth more and have more value, then the people that are lower, you can do anything to them.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. That's the foundation. One of the foundational points of this, other than, you know, just being evil, because anything like that is rooted in sin, rooted in evil. But like that's one of the ways they get away with this. All this started with evil. All this started with Margaret Sanger and her eugenics and things like that, and wanting to erase the black population, and said, you know what, I'm going to have them do it for us by promoting these ideologies and saying, you know what? Hey, you're not ready for a baby. You know what? We'll take care of that for you. We'll get rid of it. Why do you think the black population hasn't grown past, you know, 13 to 15% over the last century? It's because, well, it's a few different reasons, but one of them is abortion. And like that was part of the purpose of starting Planned Parenthood. What was that? Yep. Literally, like you can go back there, you know, and see all that. See her writings about that. She called, what's the book Hitler wrote? Mein Kampf. She called in a personal letter that she wrote, that has been discovered. She called Mein Kampf her Bible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, every horrifying, tragic event that we look back at is kind of like a widespread, big event in history, whether it's slavery, right, three-fifths of a person, so dehumanizing slaves, black people, African people, and then the Holocaust, you know, they were, what was the language that was used? I'm totally blanking. But it was the same ideology of just like dehumanizing them, making sure we didn't see them as human. And then the same thing's obviously happening here. But just also to follow the logic of people generally, you know, I know there's arguments out there about, you know, policing and like, oh, because policing started off, you know, as such and such, you got to throw the whole thing out. Okay, well, if you believe that, then follow that same logic. Like, follow the same logic. Abortion literally started because, at least the structure it has now, because of Plant, you know, Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, which is they wanted to kill black babies. And literally, the quote is, what was it? Either along the lines of extinguishing the Negro race or halting their reproduction so they couldn't grow as a race.
Negro population, yeah, something along
those lines. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. You know, again, just along the logic idea there, like, we got to be consistent. That's what logic is. So, you know, be consistent. Follow that to its logical conclusion, if you genuinely feel that way. Like, that's the history of abortion. And quite frankly, that's still what's happening. Black babies are primarily the ones being aborted. The rate is ridiculous. And I don't have the numbers on hand right in front of me. But the statistics were from a liberal media outlet. And the article was pro-abortion. And that's where I got the statistics. But in like Alabama, though, black women make up maybe like 17% or 20% of the population, they're responsible for 80% of the abortions in the state. And that was the case. It was those similar numbers. You know, it might have been the lower end, might have been like 17% of the population with like 60% of the abortions, but might have been the lowest there. But there were like five states listed there. And that's consistent, consistently the case. So, you know, that, yeah, I mean, to your point about just black people being targeted.
So with that, two things. Also, another stat, I believe it was like from 2016 or 17, around that time. If you saw a pregnant black woman in New York City, there was a higher percentage chance that she was going to abort that baby than actually keep the baby. I believe it was like 52% or something.
Yeah.
It was the abortion rate. That's one thing. Two, I definitely could see people, you know, saying, oh, you're bringing up minorities, bringing up black people and you know, their high rate of abortion, that whole thing. Like, yeah, that, you know, maybe that's bad, but they're doing it because, you know, mostly poor areas, you know, a lot of times are minority areas. Yes, but stick with me for a second. So, number one, no matter what the economic situation of the person, that doesn't get rid of the fact that abortion is evil. Like, that doesn't justify murder, you know, number one. And two, everything that we've said that we're also very much about, so keep the baby, pro-family, the man needs to be in the situation, all of those areas that are you know, economically suffering and stuff like that, are also areas that have a very low marriage rate. Also, you know, if they are married, there it's a very low or very high divorce rate, and very high crime area. Crime is a choice, you know, that you don't have to go and, you know, rob somebody. You don't have to go and kill somebody. You don't have to go and steal that car. You know, that's all a choice. So as a whole, everything we're saying builds up a strong, good society.
Yeah.
So yes, this episode and all, and the major talking points of what's going on in the culture right now is centered on abortion. You know, and the left tries to bring up all these other issues, these external issues, the surroundings, the economics, the stuff like that. But like, again, none of that ever justifies murder being okay at any point. And again, too, everything that else that we're advocating as also, you know, kind of is a part of this being from the pro-life stance, pro-family and all that, that builds up good communities. That builds up strong, you know, society. You know, the man in the household, because in minority neighborhoods, the single motherhood rate is like astronomical. It's ridiculous. If men somehow, again, I don't know how this would happen. I haven't really thought a whole lot deeply into this specific issue, like how to hold men accountable. But, you know, if that was done somehow, this is also like a ideological thing. This is a philosophical thing within society. It's what's pushed in the culture. That's why these talks matter, because you need to have voices that start to change what the general talk is in the culture.
Or just push back.
Because that talk, that talk affects that worldview affects what happens in society. And so, you know, when and like this is gonna be weird come from me because I love hip hop. I'm all about rap. But like when all of secular mainstream and what is, you know, the well known rap that's out there is all talking about killing the same people from your own community and, you know, just using women for, you know, as pieces of meat and things like that, and going to get your money no matter how, you know, by any means, like that doesn't lift up a community. That actually makes a community worse. Mm-hmm. But this, that same community lifts up those voices. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? For sure. So like there's a whole thing to this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And to your point, you know, and people may say, and it's absolutely true that, you know, people are a product of their environment. And so that's why they rap about those things, because they were in some sense victims to their circumstances. And okay, I see that. But the reality is pro-lifers, we're advocating to meet all of those things Aaron just talked about. Like, we are advocating to meet all of those needs. Yeah, you can legislate men being held accountable. I mean, we already have child support. Like, that's one step away from like, no, be present, dude. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we can't legislate these things. And I will say, I think a lot of people on the left, a lot of people, and I think all sides do this. So I don't want to just keep saying the left as if like whatever, but we can't see politicians as the voice for these movements. They suck. They're not representative of the voices of these actual movements. And so I don't think Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, whoever on the left is the voice of the pro-choice movement. I think they're just puppets of the pro-choice movement. I don't think that, you know, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Donald Trump are voices from the pro-life movement. Quite frankly, please don't look at a Republican and think that that's what we mean by pro-life. They will throw you a pro-life bone legislatively and say I'm pro-life, but never actually legislate anything to actually help, you know, whether it's the family or some type of welfare for the mother. Actually, again, address the healthcare. Pregnancies should not be expensive. Like, you get pregnant and then you have to pay all this money just to have your child. It's kind of ridiculous to me. You know, childcare is expensive. And I'm not sitting here, I'm a conservative. I don't sit here and say that everything should be free, because it's not free and that's not good for the economy, honestly. But man, I mean, as a pro-life person, as a conservative, I'm saying let's advocate to meet all of these needs. You know, if you feel like economically you're not at a place to be able to like take this child and actually raise it, then there's something we need to do as a society to say that should not be the case. And yes, pro-lifers believe that something needs to change, whether it's legislation, whether it's societal welfare. And when I say societal welfare, I mean, instead of like a government-run welfare, but like, which is already happening, churches show up to provide diapers and, you know, formula or whatever the case may be. Long story short, like, we are advocating for those needs to be met. And so there's really ultimately should be no excuse to feel like, oh, I can't have this child, I'm not prepared to have this child. And there should be either the government or society or neighbors in place that essentially meet the need, so that it removes the whatever you think is the cause for you wanting to get an abortion.
And you brought up churches. This brought this to mind. If you're if you're a woman, you know, struggling and, you know, but you just, you know, you're going to have this baby, but you have no idea how it's all going to work out. Like, just go to a local church. We live in an America, where there's like three churches on every corner.
Yep.
It's kind of ridiculous, honestly. Yep. That could be a whole nother topic, but so go to a local church and tell them your situation and say, like, I need help. And if they say no, or just throw you out the door, go to the next church.
For real.
Because I guarantee you, I mean, okay, like, I can't show you this with facts because, like, I just don't know even how you would look this up. Yeah. But, like, I guarantee you that within your town or your surrounding, you know, two or three towns that touch your town, there's at least one church, most likely more. There's at least one church that will completely help you the entire way.
Yeah.
And want to get involved in, you know, in your life and help you and reach out to you, you know, with whatever you need. Like, I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I almost don't even want to, like, the premise that if the first one doesn't, like, I just, it's got to be so rare that that would ever even be the case.
There's some bad churches out
there. For sure. For sure. But that's the thing. So that's the thing, though. But I feel like that's what they're seeing on social media. You know, like, that type of Christian is what they're seeing. And they think that, like, all churches are that feel that have that sentiment. And I mean, I promise you, like, this, especially, I mean, we're in New Jersey. So I'll speak for that. But, like, all the churches that I've been to, and I'm not just, like, sitting in a pew and just, like, show up one day. I'm talking about, like, actually being involved, actually knowing people, actually fellowshipping with people, pastors and ministry and all that. Like, I promise you, you will be served. You will not be judged. Nothing along those lines. Like, it's just not the case. So to your point, I mean, 99.9% of the time, I genuinely believe you're going to be served. And
even if they don't already have, like, a, you know, like an official ministry set up for these type of things, like, they put out word to the congregation, you know, or to certain people, like, there's going to just be people that want to help you.
Yep.
You know, if you're somebody listening that's not a, you know, church going person or even a believer, but, like, you know, maybe you're going through the situation, take our word for it. Just go and try it. You know, you're struggling, you don't know what to do. Like, just go to a local church and just reach out to them. Even just call them, you know, because every church has, you know, some way you can get a hold of them, or message them on Facebook or something, and you will get help.
Yep.
Guaranteed. Yep. 100% you will get help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get involved practically in the fight against abortion by supporting and donating preborn.org. So many of us talk about hating abortion, but how many of us actually do something about it, fighting it, even if it's just donating your money? Donating and even getting involved with preborn.org is a very easy, very practical way to get in the fight for the most innocent among us. Not only does your support provide ultrasounds and counseling, it also provides maternity clothes, baby clothes, diapers, and formula. More importantly, your sponsorship gives a young mother an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help fight for that life in the womb that has no voice, and help fight to give hope to that mom and family on the outside of the womb. $28 pays for one ultrasound, where it is found that 80% of moms will choose life if they have seen an ultrasound of their baby. Support at preborn.org. Hey guys, Aaron here. As a first and a last and a whatever else in between you want to do, please support the show in one of the best, easiest, simplest ways you can. Please rate the show on whatever platform you're listening, especially if you're listening through Apple Podcasts. That has so much to do with charts and, you know, moving the show up in the search engines, all this stuff. But whatever platform you're listening, please rate it. Please subscribe to the show if you haven't already. We greatly appreciate it. I hope this content is encouraging, is life building to you, really to just get you to know God more.
Because as believers, we believe that our life is about knowing God and making him known. So I pray that we are doing that for you. And if you could, real quick, just please rate the show, maybe leave a comment even, and subscribe. Thank you guys. Love you. I'm out.